Imagine for a second that you have a secret.
Okay.
Like, not just any secret, but your absolute most closely guarded idea.
Right, the real crown jewels.
Exactly. Maybe it's, I don't know, a brilliant new business strategy that's going to completely disrupt your industry, or the first draft of a novel you've been pouring your soul into for years,
Yeah.
or even just a surprise project you're planning for a loved one. So you write it down and you lock it away in what you believe is a completely secure digital vault in the cloud.
Which is what we all do, right?
Right. And you don't tell a single soul. But now imagine waking up the next morning, getting online, and seeing a public AI chatbot casually repeating your exact hyper-specific secret back to a total stranger.
I mean, that is the ultimate digital nightmare.
It really is.
It's the absolute collapse of the boundaries we rely on to feel secure when we sit down to create anything.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because that exact nightmare scenario is actually the mission of our deep dive today.
Yeah, it's a huge one.
We are looking at a massive forensic teardown that was published by Tech and Analysis back in August 2026.
Right.
And this report covers a major controversy that just completely blew up the internet. It involved an independent game developer, Google's Gemini AI, and this terrifyingly thin line between what we assume is private cloud storage and, well, what ends up in a public AI knowledge base.
Exactly.
So our goal today is to figure out how this private data seemingly leaked, look at the clash between creative developers and tech giants, and ultimately figure out how you can actually protect your intellectual property in the AI age.
And honestly, if you are listening to this and feeling a bit of anxiety right now about your own cloud privacy, your instincts are spot on.
Oh, absolutely.
Cybersecurity analysts classified this exact incident as one of the most intriguing cloud privacy puzzles of 2026. Because we are really looking at a fundamental breakdown of trust in the collaborative tools that millions of people use every single day.
Yeah, we literally use them every day. But before we can dissect the invisible flaws in the cloud itself, we have to look at the inciting incident that broke the internet's trust in the first place.
Right.
We need to go back to August 2026, when the gaming publication Kotaku dropped this massive investigative feature about a solo indie game developer.
Right. Club Kafta Studio.
Yes, Club Kafta Studio.
And they were in the middle of developing a highly anticipated upcoming game called Operation Octo.
Right.
The studio had been completely silent for months, just carefully guarding their upcoming announcements.
And the whole controversy starts seemingly out of nowhere, right? Like inside a random Discord community.
Yeah, if a fan Discord.
Right. A fan of the developer is just messing around querying Google Gemini about the upcoming game. And
Yeah.
Gemini doesn't just spit out generic generated lore, it explicitly names a highly specific, totally unannounced character called Vantage Tripod.
Which, I mean, that is an incredibly distinct pairing of
So
words.
distinct.
It is not the kind of phrase that just, organically appears in typical science fiction text generation.
No, it's so specific. So the developer absolutely panics because, according to their core claim, the game design document, the GDD, which contained the name Vantage Tripod, existed solely within a private, completely unshared Google Workspace environment.
Right.
They swear up and down it was never posted publicly. It wasn't dropped in a Discord server by accident. It wasn't teased on social media. It was entirely internal.
And what's fascinating here is the immediate industry fallout from that single claim.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to understand the economy of the indie game sector to see why this is so devastating.
Right. It's not like the massive AAA studios.
Exactly. A studio's most valuable intellectual property is its pre-production design and its narrative lore. Their entire marketing model relies on controlling the hype cycle.
Building that anticipation.
Right. They need to reveal details on their own schedule to drive wish lists and pre-orders. So when an early unannounced leak happens like this, it completely destroys those meticulously planned marketing beats.
Yeah.
For an independent developer operating on a razor-thin margin, losing control of their own narrative can cause severe, sometimes entirely insurmountable financial damage.
It's like imagine spending months meticulously setting up a massive, intricate trail of dominoes for a world record, and a fan accidentally kicks the table before you've even turned the cameras on.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. Like the value is in the controlled execution, and now it's just a total mess on the floor. But okay, I have to play devil's advocate here because we've all made mistakes.
Sure.
Are we absolutely 100% sure the developer didn't just accidentally click anyone with the link can view and drop it in an email somewhere?
Well, that is the crucial question, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the immediate aftermath, developer trust in default cloud document suites dropped sharply across the board.
Everyone was freaking out.
Right. The entire tech community needed to know, was this just plain old human error, or is the cloud actually reading our private files to train its AI?
So if the developer is waving their hands in the air swearing it was strictly private, and Google is waving their hands saying their systems are completely secure, let's look at Google's actual defense here.
Okay.
Because somebody has to be wrong here, or at least missing a piece of the puzzle.
Well, Google issued an official corporate spokesperson statement almost immediately on August 8th, and it was a definitive ironclad denial.
No wiggle room.
None. They explicitly stated that they do not use private Google Workspace customer data, meaning the files you create and store in your personal Google Docs or Drive to train their foundational Gemini AI models.
They drew a very hard line there. Private means private.
Exactly. And they went further to explain the mechanics of their web crawlers, like Googlebot.
Right.
So a web crawler is basically an automated script that scans the internet to build search indexes and gather training data. But these crawlers operate under very strict fundamental rules of the web.
They can't just go anywhere.
Right. They only index explicit public URLs. If a document does not have a public endpoint, meaning it hasn't been published to the open web or linked somewhere, a crawler can find it. The crawler doesn't even know it exists.
Okay.
It literally lacks the authorization to access a walled-off private directory.
To back that up, independent analysts from the publication eLeak actually ran their own tests the very next day.
Yeah, they did.
They tried to reproduce the leak, so they created private docs, seeded them with unique, bizarre keywords, queried Gemini, and nothing.
Nothing at all.
They completely failed to reproduce the result. Gemini had zero knowledge of their secrets.
Which forces the security researchers investigating the tech and analysis report to advance three primary hypotheses for how Vantage Tripod escaped the vault.
Okay, let's hear them.
The first is exactly what you suggested earlier. Accidental exposure.
Right.
The developer inadvertently created a public sharing link. A search crawler stumbled upon it, indexed it, and it was absorbed into the AI's training data before the developer even realized their mistake.
Human error. I mean, a single bad click, we see it all the time.
We do. The second hypothesis involves data scraping by unauthorized third-party browser extensions installed on the developer's actual workstation.
Oh.
And we will get deep into the mechanics of that shortly because it is by far the most alarming possibility.
Okay, so we have human error and browser spies. Is there a scenario where neither the developer nor the extensions are to blame?
There is, actually. And it is what Gemini itself claimed when a user subsequently asked the chatbot how it knew the name.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The third theory is a bizarre AI hallucination.
A hallucination.
The idea that the foundational model generated the exact name, Vantage Tripod, purely by statistical coincidence.
Okay, I have to jump in here with some serious disbelief.
I thought you might.
Are we seriously entertaining the idea that it's statistically plausible for an AI to just guess a highly specific two-word combination like Vantage Tripod by pure coincidence?
It sounds crazy, I know.
Like, maybe if the character was named Space Marine or Laser Gun, sure. But Vantage Tripod, that feels like winning the lottery twice in a row. It just doesn't pass the smell test for me.
Well, your skepticism is entirely warranted. But to remain strictly impartial here, we have to balance the developer's accusations against the technical reality of how these models actually function.
Okay, lay it on me.
Let's pull from the tech and jargon buster to clarify this for you. An AI hallucination occurs when an AI model generates false, nonsensical, or entirely coincidental data that wasn't explicitly fed to it in its training set.
Right.
Because foundational models are essentially hyper-advanced predictive text engines, they don't know facts.
They just guess the next word.
Exactly. They just string together words based on statistical probabilities of what word should come next. So is it astronomically unlikely that it mathematically hallucinated the exact unannounced character name? Yes. Very yes.
But strictly speaking, from a mathematical standpoint, it is a non-zero probability.
Okay, so if Google servers are an impenetrable fortress, and the developer swears up and down they didn't leave the front door open with a bad link, and we agree that the AI magically guessing the name is a massive statistical stretch, the leak has to be happening in transit.
Precisely.
Like something is grabbing the data while it's still on the screen.
That points the finger directly at the tools living inside your browser. And that is the most insidious risk factor outlined in the Tekken report, third-party browser extensions.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because we all use these.
We do.
AI writing assistants to make our emails sound more professional, grammar checkers to catch our typos, translation tools. We just click add to browser, give them permission, and totally forget they're even running in the background.
And by doing that, we frequently grant them blanket read access to the active browser DOM.
Okay, explain the DOM for us.
For those unfamiliar, DOM stands for Document Object Model. You can think of it as the live structural skeleton of the web page you are currently viewing. The text you see, the images, the layout, it all lives in the DOM. So when you are typing a highly confidential game design document into a web-based word processor, that text isn't just on a server somewhere. It currently exists in your browser's DOM.
But it's a necessary evil of the software, right? I mean, to check your spelling, the grammar extension has to actually read your spelling.
Right. It requires deep, unfettered access to function.
Right.
The frightening reality here is that even if a cloud provider like Google enforces the most draconian strict data isolation on their servers, meaning their AI is completely walled off from your private files, these third-party browser extensions can silently extract text directly from your active web sessions.
Wow.
They're essentially standing over your shoulder, reading your screen in real time, and then transmitting that data back to their own external servers to process it.
It's like installing an incredibly secure 10-ton biometric bank vault door on the front of your house, but giving the local window cleaner a master key to just walk through the living room whenever they want.
Yeah, exactly.
They are looking at everything on your kitchen counter, scanning your private documents. Just because you wanted them to make sure the glass was shiny, the vault door doesn't matter if the threat is already inside the room.
That is an incredibly accurate way to visualize it. And this vulnerability connects to broader emerging cybersecurity threats, specifically the danger of indirect prompt injection.
Hold on, let's define that. What exactly is an indirect prompt injection?
Normally, a prompt injection is when a user directly types a malicious command into an AI to make it break its own rules.
Right.
But an indirect prompt injection happens when an AI, like one of these browser extensions, is reading data from an external source, like a web page. And that web page contains hidden malicious instructions.
Oh, I see.
Because the extension trusts whatever is in the DOM, it executes the hidden instructions. It shows how blindly these tools consume whatever is on your screen.
That's terrifying.
The Tekken Report highlights that by using these extensions, you might be unintentionally ingesting your proprietary intellectual property into a totally separate public training loop.
So it's basically a silent vacuum.
Exactly. The browser extension acts as a silent vacuum. It scrapes the text you assume is safe behind a private URL, sends it to a third-party startup to check your grammar, and suddenly, your IP is out in the wild.
Wow. So if the very act of using a modern browser workflow creates these invisible, silent leaks, how on earth are creators supposed to actually protect their crown jewels?
Well, the Tech and Advisory lays out a pretty drastic shift for the industry. They call it the mandatory transition toward local zero-knowledge documentation tools.
Local tools?
Yes. The transition moves away from traditional cloud suites like Google Docs or Microsoft 365 towards self-hosted local-first frameworks. The report specifically highlights tools like Obsidian and LogSec.
Let's break down the mechanics of those trade-offs because they are massive.
You really are.
On one hand, you have Google Docs. It offers this beautiful, seamless, real-time editing. You can see your coworker's cursor moving on the screen. There is zero IT maintenance. You just log in on any computer and it works.
Right, but the trade-off for that convenience is that the data is hosted by a third party, rendered in a web browser, and vulnerable to that ecosystem of browser extensions and potential crawler mishaps we just discussed.
Yeah.
Local-first tools, like Obsidian, operate on an entirely different architecture. They are fundamentally air-gapped from web crawlers.
Meaning they don't connect to the open internet at all.
Correct. The files exist as standard text documents exclusively on your local hardware, your physical hard drive.
Okay.
You view them through a dedicated application, not a web browser. Therefore, grammar extensions can't scrape a DOM that doesn't exist, and the risk of AI crawler exposure drops to practically zero.
See, I have to push back on the practicality of this, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Isn't going local first just dragging these development teams back to the digital stone age?
It can feel that way.
Like, if the files only live on my physical laptop, how do I collaborate with my sound designer in Tokyo and my co-writer in London? You're telling me giving up the absolute magic of real-time cloud collaboration is really worth the massive headache of setting up local Git repositories, which, for those who don't know, is basically a complex manual version control software that engineers use just to track changes.
Right.
Is all that really worth it for a small indie team?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it absolutely is worth the headache.
Really?
Yes. The Tekken Report details a framework they call the Strategic Industry Risk Matrix. You have to weigh the implementation overhead, you know, the annoyance of using Git or setting up encrypted syncing against the actual risk severity.
Okay, so balancing the scale.
Exactly. For the interactive media sector, as we established, early leaks can cause immense, sometimes fatal, commercial destruction. The cost of a leaked game reveal drastically outweighs the IT overhead of setting up a secure sync for a small team.
I guess that makes sense.
This isn't just paranoia. The industry is being structurally forced to adopt strict zero-trust protocols, where you assume every network and every tool is hostile.
Because the alternative is losing your entire marketing budget when a fan on Discord ruins your big twist.
Precisely.
But what about larger teams? Say I'm running a massive enterprise, and we absolutely cannot give up cloud collaboration. What does the Tekken advisory say to do then?
For enterprise teams that must stay in the cloud, the advisory lists several crucial technical mitigation strategies.
Okay.
First, entirely disabling automatic AI cloud sync features within your enterprise administrator settings. Don't let the cloud provider's built-in AI scan your corporate workspace.
That seems like a no-brainer.
Second, mandating FIDO2 hardware authentication for all developer accounts.
Wait, let me stop you right there. I know FIDO2 is a physical security key you plug into your computer to log in. It's incredibly secure. It stops hackers from taking over your account remotely, but a hardware key stops someone from logging into my account. It doesn't stop a grammar extension from reading my screen once I'm already logged in, right?
That is a highly astute observation, and you are absolutely correct. FIDO2 prevents external account breaches, ensuring a hacker isn't just walking in the front door to read your files.
Right.
But you are right. It does absolutely nothing to stop the DOM scraping threat once the authorized user opens the document.
So it's just one piece of the armor, not a silver bullet.
Precisely. Which is why the advisory also mandates configuring robots.txt files.
Ah, okay.
A robots.txt file essentially acts as a do not enter sign for polite search engine web crawlers. It sits at the root of your web directory and tells the crawler, do not index anything inside this folder.
Relying on the crawler to be polite and actually obey the sign.
Yes, which leads to the final, most robust mitigation, utilizing client-side end-to-end encryption.
Let's explain how that works mechanically.
So with client-side end-to-end encryption, your text is mathematically scrambled on your local machine using a key that only you possess before it ever travels over the internet to the cloud server.
Okay.
To the cloud provider, and to any AI crawler that might accidentally stumble upon it, the document just looks like randomized, unreadable ciphertext. It is completely illegible gibberish without your local decryption key.
So we've journeyed from a baffling, highly specific AI leak on a Discord server to the fundamental architecture of the tools we use to write every day.
We really have.
We've seen the hidden fragility of cloud privacy, the intense clash between the sheer convenience of collaborative cloud suites, and the aggressive nature of AI data harvesting.
Yeah.
And we've seen why a return to local first documentation or heavily encrypted workflows isn't a paranoid step backward, but a strictly necessary defensive posture.
The overarching lesson here extends far beyond indie game developers guarding their character names. It is a structural reality of the modern internet that every professional needs to adapt to.
I really want to emphasize this to you, the listener. This isn't just about video game lore or software developers.
Not at all.
Whether you are storing confidential business strategies for your startup, sensitive financial records, or just personal private journals, your default assumptions about cloud privacy need a complete ground-up reevaluation in 2026.
Definitely.
The digital walls aren't as thick as we thought they were, and the windows are constantly being watched by the very tools we installed to help us.
The convenience we've grown accustomed to over the last decade has a hidden cost, and we are only just now beginning to receive the bill.
So what does this all mean? It brings us back to that secret we talked about at the very beginning, that diary locked in the titanium safe. We've spent this entire deep dive looking at the mechanics of the safe, the browser extensions, reading the DOM, the polite web crawlers, the encryption keys.
Right.
Which leaves us with a bizarre, almost entirely new legal puzzle to mull over. If an AI statistically hallucinates your hyper-specific, unannounced idea or a browser extension, silently scrapes it and gives it to a total stranger before you officially publish it, does that stranger now have prior art?
This raises an important question indeed. Under current copyright law, you can't copyright an idea, only the expression of it.
Right.
But if an AI expresses your secret to the public before you do, who actually owns your originality?
Something to think about the next time you ask a chatbot to check your spelling.